You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Milder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Please stand to your feet as we make the declaration before we minister the Word of God. If you're visiting with us for the first time, just follow on the overhead. Make this declaration with us. We are declaring the Word of God before we minister the Word of God. Amen. Are you ready? One, two, three. I'm a son of God revealed. I'm blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. I'm saved. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm a life-giving spirit. I accept His sacrifice on the cross and His resurrection power in my life. I'm bound to His word and can do what it says I can do. I receive the word with meekness and I'm changed from glory to glory. I have the God kind of faith. I'm the righteousness of God and will never be the same. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. As you take your seat, turn to the person next to you, say, your life will never be the same again. Amen. Remember, that word that you have declared now cannot return back void. Amen. It will do exactly what it was sent out to do. So when you confess and declare the word of God, you're declaring light and life over your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to minister today a message. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Who of you need some help with some challenges that you are facing right now? You need God to intervene. Well, there's good news for you. Amen. The good news is our strength comes from God. Our confidence comes from God. His ability has become our ability according to the Word of God. I think one of the scriptures people quote most often, Romans 8 verse 31. Do you know Romans 8 31? What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? I remember one year, as a pastor, probably 20 years ago, congregation member came to me and said, I wonder this year if God will be for us or against us. And I said, no, you've got it wrong. God is not against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? It says, for if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is for us. God saw our need and sent Jesus Christ to come and die for us. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 13 verse 6, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Turn to the person next to you. Say, the Lord is my helper. Turn to the person on the other side. Say, the Lord is my helper. You know, the implications of these two scriptures are much greater than what the eye can see. Because every day, we are faced with many challenges. You are faced with people that want to offend you or who has offended you. Let me see your hand if I'm talking to the right people here this morning. People trying to intimidate you, discourage you, fight with you. God is for us. God wants to be our helper. A matter of fact, more than that, God has blessed us with every blessing in Christ Jesus. He has blessed the work of our hands. Do you believe that as a child of God, that everything that you touch, that it's blessed?
God blesses the work of our hands. What have you touched recently that God can bless? You know, when the ushers and the hostesses greet you, when they are greeting you, they are blessing you. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, it says, "The Lord shall open to you the good treasures, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands." Jesus said to his disciples, "Go out into the world, and when you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover." It's become a point of contact. When you go out in the marketplace, God wants to help you, God is for you, and God wants to bless the work of your hands. Turn to the person next to you, ask them, when last did you put your hands to something that God can bless it? Because you know, a lot of our charismatics, we stay at home and we say, "Lord, bless me. I'm waiting for God to bless me." And God is waiting for you to go out and put your hand to something that He can bless it. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? The woman with the issue of blood, is when she touched the hem of His garment, it's when the Lord helped her. The Lord was a helper. That became the point of contact. She believed. It's Malachi 4, 2 says that, I think I've got the scripture right. The healing in His wings. She believed that if she touched that part of the garment, healing would flow. She believed it. And when she touched it, healing entered her body. And Jesus said, "Who's touched me?" Somebody touched me in faith. Became a point of contact. Amen. Naaman received the instruction from the prophet, "Go wash yourself in the Jordan." For him, the point of contact was the Jordan. Jesus even mentions him being healed. But originally, he was a bit upset when he got the instruction. He said, "Why doesn't the prophet come out and wave his hand over me? Oh, Naaman, you are healed. Go in peace and enjoy good health." No, he just got a message. "Go wash yourself in the Jordan." Was angry. Says, "The Jordan? No, God will tell you to ever go and wash yourself in the Jordan. There are much better and cleaner and blessed rivers out there." Am I talking to the right people here? Have you received an instruction in righteousness, how God wanted to change your life? And then you started, "No, God will never do it like that. That cannot be God." Luckily, he came to his senses and he went. You know, God still had a lot of grace with him because he didn't wash himself. He dipped himself. He says, "I'm not going to wash myself." I mean, there's a sermon in that, the washing of the word. Jesus sending you to a place where you don't want to be so that you can receive what you need. Many times God will say to you, "Be planted in a church, submitted and committed. There you'll receive your healing, your deliverance, your breakthrough." Never go to that church. Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eyes and ask them, "What is your Jordan?" Do you have a Jordan where God has given you an instruction in righteousness and it changed your whole life? That word that Elisha spoke was backed by heaven. "Go and wash yourself in the Jordan and you'll be healed." God had so much grace with him, even though he just dipped himself, he got healed. Sometimes God wants to wash us, and we say, I'm just coming for a quick dip. Why is the Jordan so significant? God told Joshua to cross the Jordan before they entered into the promised land. Jordan is a place of crossing. It actually symbolizes a new beginning, a new birth. Many of us, before we can enter into the promised land, we have to die to some of the old. Remember, the whole generation, the previous generation was supposed to enter into the promised land, but they never entered in because of their rebellion. And now Joshua is taking them into the promised land, but they have to cross the Jordan. It was Elisha that received his double portion at the Jordan. The waters also opened up. You can go read it. You know what's interesting about that is that Elijah didn't really make it easy for Elisha. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Maybe I must preach on the Jordan. This is just for free. Joshua, the Jordan became a new beginning. Naaman, new healing, new life. Elisha, a new anointing, new level in life. Jesus, my son in whom I'm well pleased, and he received the Holy Spirit. All of these were spiritual experiences. From a natural point of view, why the Jordan? One thing is true, God helped all of them. Turn to the person next to you, say, the Lord is my helper. Say, the Lord is my helper. Can I tell you one thing that I've seen oftentimes? When we are facing something, challenges and difficulties that are coming against us, our natural response is when people are resisting us, fighting us, this flesh wants to also fight. But that's not the instruction that God gives us in the Word. He says, after you've done everything, stand. Stand. Turn to the person next to you, say, fight the right battle. Turn to the person on the other side, say, fight the right battle. Can I just say it that people, your boss, your wife, your children, your family, whatever you know who you can put in there is not your enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the way that we do it. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord. Wow. Sometimes when I read something, I'm thinking, God, you're telling me to be strong, but I'm feeling weak. Am I talking to the right people here? But that word, when God speaks it and he declares it, he says, be strong. He's not saying rely on your own strength, but let my strength become your strength. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians, he says, when I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm weak, he's strong. So if you feel like I cannot stand, I cannot make it, I cannot get through it, God has done it for you already. Never trust in your own ability, your own strength, but always rely on God's ability. Especially if you are extremely gifted and talented. You have to rely even more on God and not go to your default setting on relying on that ability. Because who gave it to you? God. Just thinking about a friend of my reverend, actually he's a bishop now, Bishop A.B. Sabia. He's a very talented man. Can play 7 instruments, can sing, maybe a lot of you know him. And I remember 20 years ago when I met him for the first time, when he ministered at our church, he said, and he shared with me, he said, especially when you are gifted and talented, you have to rely even more on God. You have to rely more on God. I want to say that to gifted and talent because I can see a lot of gifted and talented people sitting in front of me. Rely even more on God. Amen. Listen to what the rest of the scripture says. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Verse 11 says, put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Family, listen to me. Draw your strength from God. Draw your strength from God. Find your own way before God and draw strength from Him. Challenging times will come, difficulties will come, but make sure that you draw your strength from God. Amen. Verse 12 says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are in the world, the rulers of this world. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. They are evil spirits influencing people to do things. Amen. I'm not even going to go there, but you can go to 2 Timothy 2, where it talks about vessels of honor. To be a vessel of honor is your decision in the way that you behave and things that you do. It says there, a servant of the Lord should not quarrel. Can I have one amen? Has the week been that bad? Turn to the person next to you and say, a servant of the Lord should not quarrel. We should not be going out and fighting the whole time, causing strife. Because when you are fighting, you are causing strife. And strife is rooted in pride. And what happens when there's pride? What does the Bible say in the book of James? Will God draw closer to you to help you when your heart is full of pride? No. Ain't no. That's why you have to keep your peace and stay calm. And know that the battle is not against the person. As a matter of fact, if you continue reading, it says, pray for those that want to fight the whole time, that they come to their senses. Let's just go there quickly, because if I'm not going to read it from the Bible, some of you are going to say, show me where's that in the Bible. 2 Timothy 2. Timothy 2:24. Well, let's read from verse 23. I'm reading from the New King James. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil having been taken captive by him to do his will. Can you see what the enemy wants to do? He wants you to fall into strife, to start to argue, because once you fall into that, you surrender your will to him. That's why when there's strife and fighting, does a fight get better or does it get worse? The more you surrender your will to the devil through the strife and the fighting, the more you lose your senses. And the crazier it gets, the more hot it gets, the more uglier, devilish things you say. Am I talking to the right people? Don't look so spiritual. Turn to the person next to you, say, I saw that happen once. I was innocent, but I observed all of this. I know what he's talking about. I always wondered about it. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Family, listen to me. Don't fear what man can do to you. Don't fear what man can do to you. But when things become like this, imagine what's happening in the heavenlies. Keep your ground. Keep your ground. Amen? Stand. So Paul says here, when this is happening, things are coming from all different sides. Stand. Stand. Stand on the solid rock, who's Jesus Christ, that foundation. He says, put on that armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the righteous breastplate, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. What is he saying? He said, clothe yourself with Christ and stand. Salvation. Keep that righteous position. Don't let unrighteousness enter in here. The truth. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit. It's never how strong you are. I'll sort them out. I'll show you. I'll draw the line. It's never how strong you are. How strong are you in the Lord? Can you stand? Because when they accused Jesus, he could just stand and didn't say one thing, knowing that his Father can assign angels now if he asked. But he could keep his position. He could keep his peace. Only God that can help you, my helper, in a time like that. When those kind of things happen, the Lord is my helper. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. God will see me through. After you've done all, stand. Stand. Clothe yourself with Christ, his righteousness. I can take you to so many scriptures. Somebody sent me the scripture this week, so I want to use it as well. Exodus 14, verse 13. Look here. The Lord obviously spoke to Moses, but Moses spoke to the people. So I'm speaking to you now, right now. Moses told the people, fear not. So I'm saying to you, whatever is coming against you, whether it's the Egyptians from behind trying to kill you, coming for you, or it feels like the valleys where you are in between are going to fall on you, or it's the Red Sea blocking you that you cannot move forward. It says, fear not. Stand still. Turn to the person next to you, say, stand. Stand on the rock. Stand on that solid foundation and keep your peace. And Moses told the people, fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see them again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain in rest. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Moses didn't say, okay, guys, it's time to fight. You I've got your opportunity for revenge for all the things the Egyptians did to you. He said, no. He said, stand. Keep your peace. God's going to fight for you. The Lord is my helper. This is not your battle. We're not here to fight flesh and blood, but this is a spiritual thing. David said exactly the same when Goliath came against him. He said, it's not personal. You think you've come against me. You've not come against me. You've come against my God. And I've got a friend in the Holy Spirit who disposes of giants. I've got a surprise for you today, Goliath. I'm not here to fight you. My God will fight for me. Many people are wearied, are tired because of fighting. Don't raise your hand. Just double wink at me. Tired of fighting. Keep your peace because you are fighting the wrong battle. People are not your enemy. Our real enemy is sin. If God has given us the victory, what is the real battle? That's the real question. It's a question we have to answer from here. When Daniel's three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace, God was able to help them. There was a fourth person in the fire that even the king said, who's the fourth one in the fire? What's happening here? Who's fighting for them? Who's with them? Who's their helper? Daniel, in the lion's den. The Lord is my helper. The amazing thing is the king who was not even a believer believed it more. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after they came out of the fiery furnace, they did not even smell smoke. When we've gone through our challenges and our difficulties, you'll not even smell like fire. It will just be a sweet fragrance of God. Yes, give the Lord a hand. You know, yesterday when my wife was sharing such a profound message about the woman caught in the act of adultery, and she was talking about, if you were here, how Jesus kneeled down, got to her level and spoke to her. You know, Jesus will meet you where you're at. I'm thinking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God was in the fiery furnace with them. He's not intimidated, humiliated by your situation that you are facing right now. Sometimes we think God is ashamed of our situation. He's not. He died for it. Amen? The helper was in the furnace with him. If you're going through a fiery furnace, I want to tell you, the helper is there with you. King who did not even serve God was the one who said to Daniel, I know your God is able to save you. The God whom you serve continually will deliver you, will be your helper. May people in the world look at us and say, I know God will deliver you. I know God will help you. Let them say, there's something about you, I don't know why. It shouldn't work out because we've come against you. We've tried to block you. We've tried to boycott you. But God still opened that door and everything worked out for you. There was a fourth one, a fourth person in the fiery furnace with you. There was somebody with you in the lion's den when we threw you in. And God has just taken you through that. We have a helper. We have a friend in the Holy Spirit who disposes of giants. Amen. When you are clothed with his armor, you'll be able to keep your peace. When you are facing a fiery furnace or a lion's den or a giant or a Red Sea with Egyptians coming from behind, I mean, whatever your situation, you have a friend in the Holy Spirit that will help you, the helper. Apart from that, God is for us. When the enemy realizes that God is going to do it for you, there's only one thing left for him to do, is to attack your heart to lose your peace. But if you can keep that peace, it'll go. Because when you've got that peace, you can make good decisions. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear a situation, because you know you have a helper. You know God is for us. He's not against us. You know the Lord is your helper. You don't have to fear man. You know that God has blessed the work of your hands. A matter of fact, you know everywhere you're going to put your feet, He's going to give it to you, because you are busy walking with the Lord. His devices now is to steal your peace, to get you offended, to get you angry, so that you will start to engage and fight the way that he fights. This is the trap of the enemy. Wants you to look back, past mistakes, get upset and angry. In whatever situation you are facing, let your confession be, the Lord is my helper. Turn to the person next to you, say, the Lord is my helper. In conclusion, let me just wrap it up quickly. Number one, make sure you're fighting the right battle. Amen? Fight the right battle. Number two, make sure that you are clothed with Christ. Helmet of salvation, righteous breastplate, belt of truth, shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Sometimes when the going gets tough and things are happening, don't run away. Don't run and fight. Stand and let the Lord fight for you. Yes, you have to stand for the truth, declare the truth, say what is the truth. When you're in a meeting and they're asking certain questions, don't just keep quiet and say, God will answer for me. No, I'm not saying that. Amen. Pastor said, God will do it for me. No, I didn't say that. Still answer the question. Still deal and say, amen, am I talking to the right people here? I'm not going to work tomorrow. God said he'll fight for me. The pastor said, God will fight for me. He'll do it for me. No, I never said that. You still have to go and touch it. Amen. God's going to bless the work of your hands. Go into that meeting, and if it's a tough meeting, keep the peace in your heart. Don't respond like the world and start to intimidate. Start to be harsh. Start to be rude. But keep your peace. You know, when we lose our peace, let me just say that. When we lose our peace is when we take our eyes and our focus off Jesus and we start looking at the situation and the circumstances. The first message this morning somebody sent me was, did you see there was an earthquake in Pretoria? I said, no, I didn't know about it. I just slept through it. Peace of God covered me. Amen. But I wanted to know if my friends are okay. Amen. Have you heard about the earthquake? Don't focus upon the earthquake. Now it's time to focus upon Jesus. Amen. The Bible says in the last days you'll read about earthquakes and all these kind of things. Just means you have to pray more and focus more upon Jesus. Amen. A righteous man will fall. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to make mistakes. So you're going to say the wrong thing. Righteous people make mistakes, but they get up. The righteous may fall 7 times, but every time he'll get up. So it's not about focusing upon the when you fall and when you make a mistake. When you make a mistake, say sorry and ask God, forgive me, and go to the people and make right with him. But then get up, stand, and move forward. Amen? We can stand because the Lord is our helper. That's why we can move forward. Who's ready to stand this week? Let me see. Who's ready to touch something this week because God has blessed the work of your hands? Who of you know that when you touch something, it's going to be blessed? Where you put your feet, God has given it to you. God's armor is protecting you. So now you can move forward with confidence. Numbers 14, I'm closing with this. We've talked about Moses and moving forward, but in Numbers 14, if you go read it, when the people had messed up big time, God was ready to help them, and they wanted to do their own thing. They were looking at the situation and the circumstances. God actually said to Moses, I'm giving you my version. I'm done with the people. Let's press the reset button and me and you start all over again. Have you read that? And Moses came to God and he said, you cannot do that. Because people will say that you're not able. And we know that you're able. When people have made a mistake, wronged you and disappointed you to a place where you want to press the reset button. Am I talking to the right people here? Just double blink at me. When he wanted to kill everybody, it was Moses that said, if you do that, people will say that you are not able. And we know that you're able, that you can do it. God's armor is patience, forgiveness, and grace. Are you prepared to clothe yourself with that when people come and make mistakes? Come next to them and help them. Show mercy towards them. As Moses came and prayed and said, God, if you're going to remove them, then remove my name as well. Have you seen that? Wow. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's in right standing. But he's interceding for the people with that kind of a heart. Lord, have mercy, because I know you're a merciful God. Lord, have grace, because I know you're a God full of grace. Lord, be their helper, because I know you are able. And God did it. I'm closing with this. You know the scripture, Lamentations 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Through the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, the Lord is our helper, because he's full of mercy. I'm leaving you with this last statement. Impossibilities in your life needs your agreement with the Word of God. Impossibilities in your life needs your agreement with the Word of God. As Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God is able to deliver us. But whether he delivers us or not, we're still agreeing that he's the deliverer. Whatever situation you are facing, you know what the Word of God is saying about it. It needs your agreement to turn that impossibility into a possibility. And you'll see that the Lord is your helper, whether you are facing a giant, whether you're facing a Red Sea, whether you're in the lion's den, whether you're in the pit, whether you're in the prison, the fiery furnace, the Lord is your helper and he'll see you through. You'll be able to say with all confidence, the Lord is my helper. Selah.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.